Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Fabulous 50s and Beyond Telesummit, where your deepest desires for a joyful, passionate, and abundant life meet with your infinite possibilities. And my name is Francine Ramirez, and I am your host throughout the series. And today I'm so honored to introduce Bill Bowman. And let me just tell you a little bit about Bill. He has a PhD and is a noted trainer, speaker, motivator, and empowerer of people. He has worked as a psychotherapist, psychological consultant, seminar leader, business entrepreneur, peace advocate, and spiritual visionary of life's possibilities. Through decades of inspiring presentations, seminars, workshops, classes, retreats, and counseling, he has brought a dynamic message of hope and excitement about life's possibilities into our shared human consciousness. Bill has been a member of the Sought After Seminar and Human Growth Leaders Group, the Transformational Leadership Council, and as a founding member and an active participant for 4 years, Bill joined Jack Canfield, John Gray, Hal Dostin, Bill Harris, Michael Beckwith, and Lynn Twist, and Marianne Williamson, and many others. This unique group supports each other in their professional work and entrepreneurial efforts. Over the past 10 years, Bill has specialized in mystical and inspirational leadership. He speaks about the wonder and power of soul and leads people to embrace their spiritual, mystical nature as a path to true freedom. He is an inspiring speaker, an engaging leader, and a dynamic transformational agent. Welcome, Bill.
My goodness, Francine, thank you so much. I really want to meet this fellow. He sounds absolutely amazing.
Isn't he amazing? And I didn't even give you all the details of his resume.
Oh, no, I don't think we could stand it. So, thank you. No, that was so sweet of you. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank you for inviting me to this wonderful experience. And two, I really want to say to everyone who's here, everyone who's not just listening but participating, that I'm really excited to join you. And I really mean join you in and I think Francine, in sharing with you those facets of me, she used this word a few times, joining each of us in awakening our possibilities. Mm-hmm. Or in, maybe to say it another way, stepping into the depths of our heart, the depths of our soul, the depths of our being, and finding anew, finding in a fresh way sort of who we are at this moment in our lives, and kind of listening to the nuances and the whisperings and the sort of the inner voice, if you will, even if it's not speaking in cognitive language, the inner voice that's really all about us being everything we could possibly be, or at least being that special something that seems to be out on the front burner. So I am, like, tickled, I'm honored, I'm enthused, and I just can't wait to have us just walk together for this precious time. So, again, thank you so much,
Bill.
Francine.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to have you with us today. And we are on this journey together, all of us. And I would like you to share a little bit of your story with us, whichever one you'd like to share, maybe at a time in your life where you went through a challenge and you were able to come out of it triumphantly, and really how you went about doing that.
Well, you know, as you and I were talking just a little bit before we got on the air here, and you made the comment about, gee, where do I start? I in terms of challenges, I think every one of us here could pick out of a box of about 57 challenges, major challenges. But I, for some reason, what just, I think from my sort of inspired soul, what jumps up among those mm-hmm. options is one that I tell not that often, but occasionally, but it's one that maybe means so much to me, and that is, it goes way back to my early to mid 20s, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about this Fabulous 50s and Beyond, by the way, is I am a member of the club.
So, congratulations.
That's right. And I do want to say membership does have its privileges, and hopefully, you know, this time together will be all about the privileges.
Right.
American Express must love me at this moment. Anyway, so I was in my 20s. I was living for about 4 years or so in Europe, in Belgium, actually, and it was a really, really down time in my life. We've all faced these existential crises, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it had special meaning. Every belief I ever had just been shattered, and I didn't quite know who I was. It's like everything in me, if I was a swimming pool, everything in me just drained down the bottom. And I was hanging out on empty and really depressed and sort of bumbling around in that existential, philosophical way with, existence is absurd, which is sort of the cynical version of all of that. And I remember this is going to sound so weird, but I was in Paris because that was my favorite city. I always loved to go there. And I was standing on this bridge over the Seine River, and you would think, oh, how romantic. But for me, somehow, it wasn't because
mm-hmm.
I was all alone and the whole description I just gave. And there was like nothing left of me. And I was really, it was one of those moments when I was in the middle of that conundrum and just not even asking for anything because there was nothing left to ask for. And out of that nothingness, out of that empty, depressing state, I heard a voice inside myself, and it came from my heart. We all connect to our heart and we all live in our heart in some way, but I was more of a mind kind of a character and a behavior kind of a character trying to do whatever. And my heart spoke and it said, try me. I thought, what? First of all, the voice got me, but then the content of the voice was, try me. And it said it about, I don't know, a few times, try me. And then it changed and it said, try love.
Aww.
Try love. And I thought, whoa. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, like it grabs you. It's
right.
what I often call that Moses voice, you know, Moses. You know,
standing on the mount.
That's right. The one you can't ignore, even though you like to.
Right.
And it was wow, try me, try love, try the heart. And I was, of course, majorly confused, but as I sort of sank into that, as I let go into that, I all of a sudden noticed I started waking up. I started something in me started stirring. And I noticed that not by my own design or intention or anything, love, just love, and I guess I'd say love like I'd never known it, just started stirring and moving me. And then just to summarize the next few days, as love just, in a sense, took me over more and took root in my heart and literally brought my heart to the front burner because there was nothing on the stove for me. But the love came to the front burner. And the big message was, make your whole life about love. Well, we started with the whole question of a challenge and overcoming it. And I think maybe the reason that this story jumped up to me is that my overcoming it was not because of my own efforts. It was not because of my own willpower. It was not because of, you know, I set the goal and the intention and the whole how to achieve kind of a thing. It was that I was sitting in the middle of miserable nothing. And I just had kind of let go into that, not even assuming that anything would come out of it, but just because in my ignorance I didn't know what to do. And something, and this is the reason I think it's here, something in me woke up. Something in me that had been dormant, it just sort of laid there, sort of waiting for its time, which, of course, for me at that moment was love. It just woke up. Rip Van Winkle woke up by itself because it was who I really am. And it was a me I had not gotten around to yet. In fact, didn't even know that it was waiting for me. and didn't even know that it was really, really stalking me from behind the scenes, if you will. So I feel just to make an application there, and then I'll say a little more. The application, I think, is this. For me, that happened to be in my mid-20s. But I find, because I've been a helper, a loving helper, a love-filled helper,
right,
for, at this point, decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've met with and responded to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in ways that are very intimate and very transformational and very, in a sense, miraculously awakening of their potential, of their possibilities, or let me say it the way my story is, of their latent, perhaps dormant, but maybe destined something, a quality.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was love. For somebody else, it might be a sense of purpose. For somebody else, it
mm-hmm.
might be a specific mission or calling. For somebody else, it might be the awakening of a whole new energy within that person. And having dealt with and been with so many people who are 50 and beyond, and thank you for this. This is that focus. If there's a lost generation, if I may be so bold as to use the term,
mm-hmm.
in a society that's really all about youth, I think
right.
it's those who are older. And so for you to offer this, my goodness, Francine, I'm so, so, so grateful, and I want to express that to you on behalf of all of us who are here. So for me, I think what I'm excited about in this moment is to take that story of mine and make it not so much about my will, my decision-making, my owning my power, but make it about, just to use a term, awakening, just
right.
the awakening of whatever it is in us that maybe has been whispering behind the scenes to each of us or to all of us, or maybe it's been giving us signals, feedback from outside, circumstances of life that, like I just talked to somebody yesterday who just remarkably said, this is shutting down in my life, that's shutting down, I'm, you know, this, all these doors are closing. And it's awful. And I said something like, well, have you ever considered that maybe that's feedback to you about it's time to do something else? And that was a bit of news to the person, but then we spent time with that. We just kind of opened that door, walked through it, and in a relatively short time, the person said, well, you know, what I really have kind of always wanted to do or for a long time wanted to do but really put it on the shelf because it wasn't workable is blah, blah, blah. And just after a short amount of time, the person really got, oh, I can do that. I can do that.
Mm.
And that to me is what's magnificent about the Fabulous 50s and beyond. And that is that, in a sense, and this may sound so hackneyed, I apologize for that tone, but we've paid our dues.
Yeah,
we've
so
served
true.
Our time, if you will. I think so many of us, we do what we, yes, or maybe inspired to do, but often we do what we have to do. You
mm-hmm.
know, we start a life. I think of my precious, precious, precious father, who was raised, he was a junior in high school during the Great Depression, when the Great Depression hit. And he always wanted to go to college. He wanted to be a doctor. Well, the Great Depression hit. There was no money. He graduated from high school. He walked the streets trying to find a job for 2 years.
Mm.
Couldn't find a job at all. And so college was out, just out of the question. And so instead of pursuing that dream, he finally, after a few years, he got the job. He stayed with the job. And he lived and worked in ways that I could tell growing up. He was not a happy camper. He was
right.
not fulfilled. And then somewhere, I think for him it was around 62, he quit it all. And he had a ball for the rest of his life doing what he wanted. And so I think, you know, he may be a little bit more of an extreme example and maybe not. But I think there's so many of us that we do what's the responsible thing or the expected thing or whatever. So we've paid our dues. And oh my gosh, somewhere around 50 or later or whenever, I feel like the real self that we are starts waking up.
Right.
And starts stirring within us in ways that sometimes are downright uncomfortable.
It's true, Bill. It really starts to emerge, right? And and when it starts to emerge, I think when it first starts, I don't know about anybody else, but myself, I certainly was like, what is going on here? I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't change that, and
Right. We push it back down in the closet. Like, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
Get out of here.
And, that's a dream, but, is it something that will ever come true? No, I don't think so, And we just kind of, poo-poo it, instead of really saying, okay, well, let me give this a go. That's so important. I think that, that's like my whole vision and mission for this telesummit, is because I really want people to hear how possibility is available in so many forms. And so many times our ideas of what we think it should look like are so different from the way it actually is or comes to us. And sometimes that allows us to get in the way, that gets in the way of us going there,
Yes, exactly. And I remember we were talking before, and I gave the example of good old Colonel Sanders. Remember, Everybody remember Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken? He had this little chicken shack by the side of this highway in Kentucky for years and years and years, and all the people would stop and buy his chicken there. And then they had the nerve of building an interstate 10 miles away, and all the traffic stopped on his road because everybody was taking the interstate. And he was 67. And a friend came to him and said, what are you going to do now? And he said, well, I guess I'll just shut down. And the friend said something like, well, what would you really like to do? And he said, well, I love making chicken. I make great chicken. I have a marvelous reputation for chicken among the local people. I'd love to do that. And his friend said, have you ever thought about going national, opening a franchise? And he said, what? You got to be crazy. And we all know the rest of the story.
Right.
And so it wakes up like that. I think not just in terms of, oh, what I could do, a possibility, but what makes me whole, what completes me, what fulfills me. So if I go back and make it all about me, make it about yourself, Bill, be all self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that and go back to my story about love, that was a momentous time or second in my life. Because in awakening love, truly, love did just take me over. It wasn't just, oh, gee, I'm going to be more loving now. No, it was my life is about love. My life is about connecting to whoever I'm with. It's about being fully present to whoever I'm with. It's about taking whatever gifts or abilities are here in me and making them fully available to whomever I'm with. It's about being intimately bonded with and one with whoever I'm with for whatever the purpose, the reason of that happens to be. Or to say it another way, for me, it's about loving this planet, and it's about loving the human family, the human race, no matter how theoretically screwed up we may seem to be.
We tend to be.
But really, it's about, like, for example, I just in that regard, with apologies for making it about me here, or seemingly making it about me, instead of going to my mind about wars and social injustices and starvations and all those human tragedies, instead of going to my mind and either doing the judgmental "ain't it awful" thing or complaining about it or whatever, I my heart just looks at that and says, no, Bill, that's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I? And what am I about? I'm about loving that, and not loving it in a sense of, oh, it's wonderful, but loving it in terms of, well, why do we have all of this? It's because we're starved for love, and we're all scrambling around, in a sense, for love. So just for me, love has made the whole difference, and I feel like every element of my life and person and existence is about just being part of the heartbeat of the planet, being part of the love, energy, and force and reality of human existence. Just so that in terms of the question, what am I contributing? Well, I'm contributing. I'm an embodiment of love, and so I contribute love. And so just if I take that focus and spread it out to all of us and ask the same question, which is, wow, who, here I am at 50 or beyond or 60 or 90, whatever it is, who am I at this moment of my life? And who I am at 50 is probably at least a little different, and probably very significantly different than who I was at 30 or 20, and certainly 10. But who am I now? And what is it in me that's stirring, pushing itself to the forefront, coming alive, and calling me? And then, as you so beautifully said, Francine, in your commentary, it's like, yes, maybe I've ignored it, maybe I've pushed it back, maybe I've talked myself out of it, maybe I've this or that, but the irony is, and I think the good news is, that stirring just doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't.
If it's a part of us, and if it's time, it will get obnoxious. it's not always kind.
No,
will be heard.
Yes, because the universe will come in and kick your butt. in ways
but,
that you never expected it to happen, right?
Yeah, and I you would know, guess...
The client that you were talking to, he's a prime example, and that was similar in my life, too. It was like, okay, so you're not listening to what I'm guiding you to do. Let's just take this little thing away, and let's take this little thing away, and let's change this little thing, and until finally you're like, okay, why am I not listening?
exactly. That really beautifully says it.
But you know, had such a moment of grace in that awakening, Bill. I mean, that to me, I just see grace all over that, you know, that you were just filled with the grace of God, you know, and that just filled you to such a degree that it literally imprinted you for the rest of your life. That's a pretty tall order to come from love for most of your life.
and you know what I've discovered, just in my own experience, and we all discover different things through our experience, but for me, and part of it is the spiritual path that grace also woke me up to and led me into and moved me through, is that that grace is not just one of those, once every 20 year kind of visitations we get from on high, but that it lives deeply in each one of us. And I notice at this point in my life, of course we all go through our phases, but after some phases, at this point in my life, I feel like what I really embody, with that love still being the core, the foundation, the root system of it all, if you will, I feel like I embody, let me call it grace. I think that's a good word. I would call it sort of the bigger dimensional realm of possibilities, and just using the language of modern physics, quantum physics, the in terms of the wave and the particle, the wave being all possibilities, the particle being the taking form of those possibilities. I feel like in me lives, and in every one of us lives, that wave, all those possibilities. And if I dare to use the word soul, I feel like our soul, which to me is that all-knowing truth, that all-knowing source within each one of us, where way deep down, like even in psychology, they say that the truth is within, well, all the answers are within. and I think spiritually, the spiritual word for that is soul, and there may be other words for it, but from the soul's perspective, it's like our soulful self knows, among all those possibilities, which one is ours, which one has our name on it, if you will. So for me, it happened to be love. For somebody else, it's something else. But here's the point I love to make, and I love that you brought up this whole theme of grace, is that, and may I say this directly to each one of us, that grace, that very same grace that awakened that in me, lives in you. I mean, really lives in you. And most of the time, we don't notice it or label something as grace. But if we really later in hindsight look back at so many things in our life, we recognize, oh my gosh, that was grace, that was grace, that was great. Grace, even things that we, and this certainly fits me, things that we assign to ourselves, like, ooh, I did this, and because of my great efforts, I did that. And at some level, that's really true, but if I look at it in the bigger picture, oh my gosh, it was grace. So, and that's what, if I can just be theoretical for a minute, just in terms of my own sense of it all, what I love about getting older, and I'm like really old. I am at this point 73 years old. Would you?
No, are you really?
Yeah, I really am. Yes, 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 yeah. I just look young for my age.
you have to tell us what the secret is.
well, I think we're talking about the secret, as a matter of fact.
That love,
But the only reason I mentioned the age part is maybe to give a little credence to what I'm about to say. What I love about getting older, and I really mean this, because I had to, I'll tell you this cute, quick story. When I turned 50, I got this letter in the mail from AARP. And it welcomed me to membership in AARP. And I went through this almost traumatic self-concept dilemma of, what? This means I'm old. What? So to show you how young, not just young I felt, but how attached to youth I was, which we all are in this, which most of us are in this society. So I've gone through all these phases, and I have literally fallen in love with aging because, and these words won't begin to say it, because with aging comes some audacious permission to just be who we are.
So true.
It's like we've served our time, paid our dues, and we don't have to do that anymore. It's like it's just time for me to be the self I got birthed to be. And
so true, Bill.
And so there's
freeing, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, totally freeing. And there's this inner permission. And
yes.
That's kind of one of the reasons I was exciting about sharing this precious time with all of us. Is I just wanted to hang out in the permission that's present in, stirring in, and wanting to come forth in every one of us, just so we could sit in that permission together, sit in that grace together, sit in that awakening of some core facet of who we are together that wants to come out and have us be that part of ourselves. So that, just in some way, not just so I can support that in all of you, yes, of course that, but so that I can celebrate you and celebrate that in you. I think being older is just the biggest thing. To say that in a terrible, politically incorrect way, you often hear that, why do we waste our youth, whatever that saying is. But to say it in a politically incorrect way, I wouldn't trade aging for youth simply because it's so, in your word, it's so freeing. To me, it's like, I'm going to get philosophical and a little eschatological here with us. So if I look at the whole question of, whoa, Why do we become human? Why did the divine create the universe, etc.? And I feel like it's so that whatever all of that vast space of light and infinity and divinity and possibility is in the light field, in the oneness realm, and all of that, whatever all of that is, so that in some holographic way, where holographic meaning where the all is present in every part.
Mm-hmm.
In each one of us, we're the part. In each one of us, wow, all of that is there. And when we're younger, we're doing the regular human three-dimensional path thing.
Right.
And we're doing the part thing. And now it's like, ooh, we have the option, the freedom, the permission, the possibility to step into, whoa, you know what? I can be it all.
Right.
I'm not limited. I'm not held down because somehow even life gives me permission. It's not just I give myself permission. Even life, creation, gives me permission. Even the human race gives me permission to just be who I am in ways that they don't really when I'm 30. And they don't
right.
when I'm 40. just
it's
because,
so true. We get so caught up, you know, in that young ages of ours, we're so caught up with how we appear to other people, and we're so self-conscious and trying to always please people and be a certain way and act a certain way and do a certain thing. And it's so, I know, and I don't even know how old I was when, I guess I was about 55 one day when I realized, you know what? I don't really care who likes me anymore and who doesn't. You know,
and,
it was
and,
kind
and
of
I'm
like
guessing. What an amazing, amazing feeling of freedom for you. Wow.
Definitely, definitely, because mm-hmm. I definitely was one of those people, and I was brought up that way to believe that. You know, I was brought up mm-hmm. to believe that what other people think and other people say is more important than what I thought and what
mm-hmm.
I felt. You know,
yes.
of course, I was always externally, you know, checking everything out. You know, instead of going within.
Mm-hmm.
And checking what
mm-hmm.
I wanted or what I felt, you know. So that was a great freedom for me. And I just hope that as many people as us get there, too, with that. Because it just happens. I don't even know. I don't know that there's a certain age it happens. I think maybe for everybody
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit different. But
yes.
it does. Yes. It
mm-hmm.
just you just get that sense of, I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I know that I'm this wonderful person. It takes a long time to believe that, right? Sometimes.
Yeah. It's a step-by-step deal. Yes, for
right,
sure.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah.
you know, I think for me, even one of the hardest things to remember or to really grasp was that I am this beautiful, divine child of God. You know,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
I'm made in this image, that I am perfect just the way I am. It's not me who's the problem. It's my behavior, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be able
mm-hmm.
to distinguish between the two.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
when I'm
yeah.
saying or doing something, that's not the truth of who I am. That's my behavior.
Wow. What a beautiful distinction. I like that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And I have to remember that, you know.
that's one we write down and put on the mirror, right? Oh, but I want to suggest something, and then if it doesn't work, you tell me. What I'm feeling, Francine, and
mm-hmm.
everyone, is a kind of an inner, I think I want to call it inspiration, to take maybe 10 minutes or so and have me just do, I think, the equivalent of a guided meditation, but I want to describe it this way more. Have me just lead us in an experience to go maybe deep into our own heart or deep into our own soul and just kind of show up to what is stirring there. And let my words be kind of general words that are, in a sense, background music, while each of us has our attention much more on our own self, just as a way of honoring and supporting whatever is the individual truth of each of us and whatever is the kind of the inner awakening in each of us. Does that work? And I'm fine with
that. Yes, that would be great. I would love that, Bill.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said yes, because I don't know what else I would do with it. I'm just joking. By the way, I really want to thank you, Francine, and everyone here. One, because I'm having a wonderful time. See how I keep bringing it all back to me? What is this guy, anyway?
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. But not just because I'm having a wonderful time, but because, and then I'm going to use spiritual language here, and you know, if you've got other languages, translate mine into your language. I feel like this is one of those sacred moments. I feel like, you know, every now and then you show up and you realize, ooh, there's something really special here, as opposed to you show up somewhere else and it says, oh, it's just something else. You just walk through it. And I've had that actually from the start of this conversation. And I knew there was something deeply core in me that said, say yes to this invitation that Francine gave me to be here with us. And yet I wasn't totally sure what it was. But from the start, I felt like, ooh, this is one of those moments when, oh, I'm going to use Francine's word, when grace, and we could call it God, we could call it anything we want, but when grace just sort of brought us all together, you know, in the sense that there are no accidents, just brought us together so that in this fabulous 50s and beyond setting, so that in this setting where with the focus of age and the focus on each of us really being, if you will, the next version of who we are, the upgrade version, if you will, of who we are, with all of that, that this is one of those moments when I feel like our shared soul, our shared heart, our shared spirit, our shared calling just wants to, I don't know, give us a kind of a special spiritual booster shot, so to speak. And so I feel like it's in that spirit and in that sense that this little meditative experience can just support us remarkably. So I'd like to invite each of us just to, first of all, of course, just relax, which I'm sure we all are doing already. And just with a kind of a soft, gentle breath, just let our hearts open. And note, I didn't say open your heart because that's maybe a little more proactive. Maybe just let yourself get in a receptive mode. It's sort of like grace is in charge of this moment, or your heart is in charge of this moment, or your soul, or wherever you image your truth, the real truth of you being, that's in charge. And so we're just relaxing. We're just getting receptive. We're just letting go. And let's travel to two places. The first, your heart. The second, your soul. And I want to acknowledge that for many of us, those two are probably just two words for the very same thing. So we just kind of let go and just let our attention, let our awareness just kind of drift down to our heart. Just kind of slowly kind of enter into the yard or the field of our heart, of our heart center, our heart energy, which of course is physical lingo for love, just love. And so this may be the indwelling home of love. And not just love as love, but let me personalize it. Love as love is here for you, to support you, to wrap its invisible arms around you, to embrace you and hold you and honor you and support you and to hold the truth of you. That love looks at you not through the eyes of your mind, which might be critical eyes or fault-finding eyes or other kinds of ways that don't feel helpful. Love, looking at you through the eyes of the heart, through the eyes of love, sees the beautiful self, person, being, presence that you are, knows the truth of you and holds that truth despite any illusion, despite any other or contrary appearance. And so here we are together, individually as well, just kind of now hanging out in this beautiful, beautiful heart, in this space where there's no judgment, this space where there's permission, permission just to be who you are. And that, of course, is one of the beautiful things about being Fabulous 50 and beyond, is that we can move from the head to the heart, or we can move, as Francine said, from the behavior to the love. We can not only move to the heart, we can move in. Just like we're moving into a new home, if you will, not that it's totally new to any of us, but maybe love right now. And you might notice it or sense it or feel it or intuit it or experience it or just picture it. Maybe love right there in that precious, beautiful space of your heart. Maybe love is welcoming you in, is having you sit on its lap, if you will, and holding you and whispering sweet nothings in your ear or just reminding you, despite the toughness or the challenges of your life, that you never, never, never lost anything of your beauty, anything of your specialness, anything of your remarkable, gorgeous spirit, anything of your spontaneity, anything of your wonder. And those are fascinating words, the words that we don't usually get to when we're 20 and 30, if you will. But they live here. Can you see them, feel them, notice them, picture them? Those words, and let me just put them into words as if I'm your heart, I'm your love speaking to you. And if they're uncomfortable, just kind of let yourself be with them, and you don't need to do anything with them. But I believe your heart might say to you something like this: I really, really, really love you. I am thrilled and excited to be not just a part of you, but the center part of you. I'm honored to have the privilege of holding the real truth about you, no matter what other movie might be playing on the theater screen of your mind, no matter what circumstances might be expressing or manifesting outside in the outer world around you. No matter what, always, every minute, I know you, and I hold you. You are wonder-filled, full of wonder. You're amazing. You're this beautiful creation and expression of light and beauty and magnificence. Probably at the moment of your birth, there was rejoicing. Like, wow, people maybe said, look, what a miracle. This precious, beautiful baby. Probably, despite whatever else was going on in your family, people came to you and said, can I hold this baby? And they did that because they felt something in you. They felt your light. They felt your innocence. They felt your beauty. They felt your specialness. And your heart knows that. So I, the voice of your heart, want to say to you, I love you because you are perfect, just the way you are. And I love you because everything about you is just right. In the words of Goldilocks, just right. And so let's take the rest of the journey to your soul. And for many of us, that won't be too long a distance. And it may be just turning around in the very same room of the heart. But for many people, their soul feels like it lives more in their gut, if you will, in their gastrointestinal self. So let's do the same thing. Let's just open ourselves to just sort of being led, drifting to our soul. And just as the heart is the holder, the reservoir, the residence of our love, our soul is the reservoir, the residence of our truth, The real truth of who you are lives right here. And the real truth of what is the perfect, best way for you to be in your 50s, or your 60s, or your 70s, or beyond, is alive and well in your heart, I'm sorry, in your soul. And so, as we just let go into our soul, we notice we're sort of falling into the embrace of the beautiful self that our heart just told us we are, just reminded ourselves about. And there's the truth staring us right in the face. And without needing to get philosophical or cognitive or left brain oriented about it, without having to ask the question, who am I, what am I about, those existential questions, if you will, we just are looking at the truth of us. We may be looking at it as a energetic experience. We may be looking at it as a feeling. We may be looking at it as a picture, or we may be just knowing. We're face to face with the truth, and I wonder what that precious truth for you at this moment or time of your life is about. Whether it's on the one end of the spectrum demanding and saying this is important, you've got to do it, or on the other end of the spectrum it's just barely waking up, it's just barely whispering, it's just beginning to rearrange the furniture, if you will, in your soul, and just start to invite you gently, sweetly, easily, or somewhere in the middle. Whatever it is, you, and I feel like in this moment I'm being the voice piece of your soul. You are ready, even if you might not feel ready, at your soul's level of truth, you are very, very ready. You're ready now, really now. Ready to hear, ready to sense, ready to know, ready to get clear, ready to embrace and own and be whatever this is, this new you, or this newer version of you, or this fresher rendition of you, or this this upgraded style of you, this bigger you, this grander you. Sometimes, and this is me, Bill, speaking, sometimes I sense strongly that when we incarnate, when we get birthed, we only bring a part of our vast spirit with us. And one of the reasons life can be hard or difficult for so many years is that we're, so to speak, not playing with the full deck of who we are, meaning our whole spirit isn't here. And then at various moments, like with me in my mid-20s, when that facet of me called love that really wasn't a part of me until then and didn't really incarnate into my heart until then came, I think the same thing with us, and it may be true here. Your soul may be saying it's time for the next version of your spirit, the version of you that you left on the cosmic shelf, if you will, when you got birthed. It's time for that to enter your body, enter your soul, enter your human presence and self. And it's time for it to wake up, and it's time for it to become you. It's time for it to find its place in your voice, to find its permanent residence in your soul, to find its energetic frequency in your body, to find its amazing possibilities in your mind. it's time. It's just time. And so as we just get ready to complete this precious short meditative time together, I, Bill, just want to invite you, if you feel like it, if it feels like it would be helpful, to maybe as frequently as you would like, do this journey on your own. Visit your heart and just soak and bathe in the warm bath waters of love that are there. And visit your soul and feel into and feel the vibratory rhythm of your truth. And start listening in your own way. Maybe it doesn't speak in words. Maybe it speaks in different frequencies, different languages that we don't yet know. But just visit and hang out there. Because these may be, these two, your heart and your soul, may be the voice box of the you that's been waiting for you. Maybe waiting till you turn 50 or whatever age you are at this point, just so that that heart and that soul can introduce you to the you that you've been waiting for and that's been waiting for you. Thank you so very much for this beautiful time together. I'm going to turn this back to Francine.
Thank you, Bill. That was just beautiful. Just beautiful. So it's so quiet. I feel so quiet now that I really don't want to go into any more kind of questions with you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just like to talk a little bit about your offer?
My offer. Yes. Thank you. I was in another world right there.
I know, me too.
Yes.
I
yes,
kind
yes.
of hated to bring that about. But
yes, yes. I would love, and my just precious, adorable, wonderful personal assistant, Mona, and I talked about what would be a wonderful gift, a wonderful offer to give to you, just from our heart. And what we came up with is I wrote a book called Soul Vision.
Mm.
Soul Vision, and the subtitle is A Modern Mystic Looks at Life Through the Eyes of the Soul. And so I wrote this book just, I don't know, 5 years ago or so. And it's got five chapters, and I wanted to give you the bottom line, if you will, the icing on the cake, which is the last chapter, chapter 5, and save you reading the rest of it, really. But Soul Vision is about when the soul is looking out at life, what does it see? And so, if I may just briefly, chapter 1 I call Essence. It sees that everything just is. That's the first thing we see. Oh, everything just is. God is, you are, I am. And there's the beauty and the perfection of that. And then the second chapter is about light. And so, you know, like essence or God said, let there be light. And so we are all, as we know, beings of light. Modern science says everything about us is 99.9% light. And while it's hard to fathom what that is, our soul knows that we truly are beings of light. That's the ultimate truth of us. And as we can bathe in that light, we start bathing in the very possibilities that Francine's teleseries here is all about. And that's where those possibilities and potentials all live, is in our light being. And then the third is third chapter is energy, where it's about, wow, energy, the energy of the heart, which is love, the energy of the solar plexus, which is emotion and feeling and passion, if you will, the energy of the throat, which is about creative expression, and on and on and on and on, that we're here to experience and experience fully. And so we get to chapter 5, if you will, which is really all about us embracing and becoming all of that, but embracing and becoming it in the humanness of us, not in just some transcendent way where we sort of go out and meditate our way out into the ethers, but where all of that comes alive within us. And so that chapter I'm especially attached to and feel a lot of energy in, and it's my privilege to offer that to you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you. You missed chapter 4.
Consciousness. I was trying to save time here. Yeah.
That's okay. I just wanted to know what it was.
Thank you. Consciousness meaning out of that essence and light and energy comes our capacity to know consciously, super consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously, and all of what that's about.
That makes sense. Thank you so much.
You caught me there. Whoa.
I got you. Because I was really listening. I'm saying, okay, I understand this, and we missed a step.
I'm not used to people listening to me. Nobody listens to me.
Oh, yes, they do. Well, Bill, it has been such an honor having you with us. I am so grateful for this time together, and I thank you so much for being here and for all your wisdom, your guidance, and for the beautiful meditation that you brought us through. That was just a wonderful experience. And I look forward to us meeting someday, Bill, and somewhere in the future.
It was such a delight, Francine. Thank you. And I just, for some reason, I feel like saying to each and every one of us who's here, thank you. Thank you enormously. And thank you for being you, just period, exclamation point, for being the you that you are and being the gift to life that you are. And thank you for being in this moment with me. I'm aware you bless me as much as I bless you, and you support and give to me, and you make me more just by this, even though I happen to be the one flapping my tongue here. you've been flapping your light and your love and your presence, and I just want you to know I'm honored to have spent this precious time with you.
Thank you, everybody.
And Francine especially, thank you. And thank you for all you are and what you do in this beautiful, beautiful gift you're giving to everyone.
Thank you so much, Bill. And thank you so much, everyone here who has participated in this telesummit for all these days. This transformational journey that we've been on has been so enlightening for me as well as everybody else, I hope. And it's even opened me up to even more possibility. And I am so grateful that we're all learning just how fabulous we all are. Thank you, Bill. Have a great night.
Thank you, Francine. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.